started.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, I will thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for fighting our battles. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for uprooting from our lives the things you did not plant. Thank you for opening our eyes to see the things you are showing us. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we know today that sets us free. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for great things you have in store for us, things that eyes have not seen, things that ears have not heard, things that haven't come to the thoughts of men. Thank you for having such great things in store for us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your grace that is enabling us to grow spiritually, to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for giving us such grace. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you have taught us through the Bible study classes we have on this platform. Thank you, Father. We ask, O Lord, that you speak to us again as we look at your word, your scriptures together. Bless our hearts, bless our souls. In Jesus' name, let the entrance of your word give us freedom, revelations, and illumination. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped. We started a new topic last Tuesday, which is persecution. Persecution. And we talked on a topic that says persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. Persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. That is, everyone that will follow Jesus must inherit persecution from Jesus must suffer persecution. And I remember saying that if you are going to please God in this life, if you are going to do God's will, if you are going to live godly, live holy, you must and you shall be persecuted. Any Christian who is not being persecuted is not yet a Christian. Yeah, because persecution entails that certain people, fellow human beings, are not in agreement with what you stand for as a believer. Yeah, and some of these human beings can be your very close family members. They can be your relatives, your parents, sometimes your children, your spouse. And that was why Jesus said that anyone that will follow after him must hate his brother, his sister, his mother, his father. Now the word hate there implies that we must be ready to not, or maybe I should use the word, we must be ready to offend people in our pursuit of God, in our following God or following Jesus and obeying Jesus. We must be excited to offend people that want to stop us from doing God's will. So today we are moving to a topic that says, we're moving to point number two. The one we discussed last Tuesday was point number one, which was persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. So now we are going to talk about point two, which is benefits of persecution. And under this point too, there are several points under this point too. Yeah, and we will pick one of them this evening. Benefits of persecution. Number one is heavenly rewards for enduring persecution. There are heavenly rewards. There are rewards that you get from heaven because you endured persecution here on earth and did not fail God. You were persecuted and you did not compromise. You were persecuted and you did not yield to the desires of the enemy. There are rewards for that. Yeah. So we're going to be looking at heavenly rewards for enduring persecution. Let us open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, this is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, this is the words of Jesus Christ himself. So he said, blessed are you when men persecute you for the sake of righteousness. For this is the kingdom of heaven. So which means you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, that is what Jesus meant by for this. That is, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such people. People who give themselves to be persecuted. Yeah. People who endured persecution. The kingdom of heaven shall be given to them. You know, sometimes I used to wonder if there are Christians in this generation that will really make heaven. Yeah, because if we look at those that are gone ahead of us, those that were Christians before now, which some of them, in fact, many of them have died. I'm referring to people we read about in the Bible, the early Christians, the early apostles. If we look at how they patiently and joyfully endured persecution to the point of death, and then we now take a look at how Christians of this age, Christians in this present time, how they will not want to suffer anything for the sake of righteousness. They are not willing to endure anything. They are not willing to endure pain, to endure suffering because of Christ. Yeah. So if we look at those two generations, that is the generations, the generation of Christians that we read about in the Bible, in the New Testament. And then we look at the generation of Christians of today. You're going to see that there is a great difference between the two generations. There is a very wide gap between the two. And that is why I begin to ask myself, are we really going to enter into the same heaven that the previous generation of Christians entered? Yeah, because we have not really proven before God and man how much we love Jesus, how much we love God. We have not really demonstrated before heaven, before the angels, before God, before Jesus, before the Holy Spirit, and even before demons. We have not really demonstrated how much we are willing to suffer for Christ's sake or for righteousness' sake. We have not really demonstrated how much we are willing to die for concerning the things of God's kingdom. Yeah, so if you consider these things, I'm sure you'll be asking yourself the same question. Yeah, I'm sure you will even ask yourself, am I a serious Christian? Am I taking seriously the same faith some people shed their blood to defend? Am I taking seriously that same faith? Yeah, so these are the questions we should ask ourselves. Yeah, because the Christians of today are not serious at all. Yeah, that's what I've observed. And we don't really love God. And we run away from persecution. Yeah, because we love ourselves more than God. Yeah. Sometimes I will ask some people, why are you not doing this righteous thing? Why are you not following these Bible standards? And they will say, I don't want people to laugh at me. I don't want people to call me names. Some will say, my parents don't really like that. They start giving different kinds of excuses. Yeah, so this shows how unserious we are. Yeah, and this shows that if persecution should, intense persecution should come upon Christians today, more than 90% will fail God. Yeah, more than 90% of Christians will not make it. They will fall from the faith. Yeah, if God exposed the church to a very intense persecution, you're going to see millions of Christians, in quotes, deny God and deny their faith. Which is going to confirm that they were not really rooted in God. Yeah, they were just joking with their Christianity. So I pray that you are not like that, and you are not going to be like that. That is the essence of this teaching. Yeah, to show you how we cannot escape persecution as Christians, and to show you how to stand in the face of persecution. So let us move to another scripture. Let us read Romans chapter 8, verse 17-20. Don't forget, we are looking at heavenly rewards for enduring persecution. Heavenly rewards for enduring persecution. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 17, 20. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yeah. Verse 17 says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I have shared with you what the Lord told me some time ago. I would like to mention about it again. On that day, I think it was a Sunday. while I was in the church, and the Lord said that I should not expect to be identified with His glory if I don't identify with His suffering. Yeah, that is, it is wrong for you to want to identify with the glory of God, that is to want to partake of God's glory. If you don't partake of His sufferings, if you don't identify with His sufferings. Yeah, and Paul the Apostle understood these things. Yeah, that was why he prayed a prayer in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Some of you who are Bible students should know what is in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. But maybe you don't know, let me read it for you. Apostle Paul understood what it means to partake in God's, to partake of God's glory, to partake of God's power. He knows that one must first of all partake of His suffering, partake of His pains, before you can be qualified to partake of His glory and power. Now, let me read for you that place in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Now this is the prayer Apostle Paul was praying to God, that he may know Him. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now, you can see what he said. He said he wants to know Jesus, and he wants to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And now he now remembered that there's no way I can know the power of His resurrection if I don't know or participate in His sufferings, even in His death. I don't know if I get to my point. So he was saying here that he wants to know Jesus, that he wants to know. Now, the kind of knowing here is not head knowledge. That is, he wants to know Jesus and the power of Jesus right inside of him. He wants to know it with his body, with his soul, with his spirit. That is the kind of knowledge Apostle Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. And then he was saying that he wants to know the power of His resurrection. So which means he wants to experience the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave. Meaning that he's saying he wants to experience immortality. Yeah, the same power that could suddenly make some, you know, a body that is dead to come alive. And not just come alive to put on a new body that cannot die anymore. Because that is the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection is not just to bring the dead back to life. You know, the dead have come back to life even before Jesus came to the earth in the New Testament. We saw how even in the Old Testament, dead people came back to life. At least we saw the case where Elijah brought a dead person back to life. Even Elisha did the same thing. And even the bones of Elisha brought a dead man back to life. Yeah. So, the power of resurrection that Apostle Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 is not just about resurrecting a dead body. It's more than that. It's about putting on immortality. That is, you are not going to like that. You know, that is, you defeat death once and for all. And that you are not going to die anymore. And that is the power of his resurrection. And Apostle Paul wanted to experience this power even before he would die a physical death. He wanted to experience that power. So he made us to realize that we can actually experience the power of his resurrection, because he believed he could experience that, and he was aspiring for that, he was praying for that, and he was working towards that. So he said that I may know him, and not just know him, that I may know his power of his resurrection, or the power of his resurrection. Yeah. Which is the same as that I may experience the power of his resurrection in me. Yeah. And then he now came back to how to experience that power. Yeah. Which is what he said. Which is what he meant when he said, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let me read verse 11. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You can see that. He was not talking about him being resurrected after dying a physical death. He knows that is going to happen. Yeah, if he live a holy life and die as a pure Christian, he knows definitely he's going to resurrect from the dead during the time of rapture. But here he's talking about the possibility of experiencing the resurrection of the dead while still alive. The possibility of experiencing the power of his resurrection while still alive in this human body. Yeah. That was what he was aspiring to get. Now, and he was showing us how that is possible. He said he must also have more fellowship with his sufferings. And not only that, he must be confirmed to the death, or he must identify Jesus. He must identify with Jesus in death. So, which means Apostle Paul knew that he must suffer a lot to experience the power and glory of Jesus. Like, he must suffer for Jesus. And he must even die for Jesus. That is, die in his flesh. Yeah, he must die to sin, to the things of this world. He must die to the world, Yeah, so he knows he must actually conform to the death of Jesus. Yeah, so the death of Jesus, you know, led to his resurrection. So Apostle Paul was saying that if we can conform with his death by putting to death everything that is carnal and worldly and sinful, that we will as well experience that power of his resurrection, that glory of his resurrection, because we know the kind of person Jesus became when he resurrected. Yeah, he was putting on a glorious body that death no longer have power over. So this was the kind of transformation Apostle Paul was desiring to have. Yeah, and he was saying that he needed to fellowship with Jesus in suffering and in death. So there is a fellowship that we have with Jesus in suffering and in death. When we put ourselves through sufferings and pains and persecution, we put ourselves through, we deliberately allow ourselves to go through those sufferings for the sake of Christ. Not that you put yourself through suffering because you want to show somebody that you are very good in suffering for Christ. No, this is suffering that you are doing it because of Christ. So Apostle Paul was saying he wants to know more of Jesus in suffering. So these early apostles, they were able to have some very special relationship with Jesus when they are suffering for Jesus, that they knew they cannot have when they are not suffering for Jesus. I don't know if I get my point. So there's a fellowship you have with Jesus in suffering that you cannot have except in suffering. I don't know if I get my point. That is, if you are living in your comfort, in your convenience, you cannot have that type of fellowship with Jesus. It's not possible. You cannot have such encounters with Jesus. I mean, encounters with Jesus that is, that, you know, that only happen when you are suffering for Jesus. Yeah. So any Christian that have chosen to embrace a life of comfort, a life of convenience, you can't put yourself through some discomfort for the sake of Jesus. You can't suffer anything for the sake of Jesus. In fact, even a little suffering, you start to complain. And you start to say, I don't think I can do this. Maybe this kind of thing is for some other Christians. I don't think I can do all this because of Jesus. Or, you know, because I want to win souls. I don't think I can go through all this because I want to win souls. Yeah, there are Christians like that that just, you know, just more suffering for Jesus, they cannot endure. Just a little dose of suffering, they cannot endure. So the revelation of God's glory and power cannot happen in the lives of such Christians, because you must fellowship with his suffering. Yeah, to be able to fellowship with him in power and in glory. Yeah, and I as a person, I can tell you that many of the life-changing encounters I have had with Jesus was in suffering, in pains. not when everything was good. I mean, when everything is rosy. No, it was in the midst of pain. I've told you before, you know, how I got life-changing encounters from Jesus or with Jesus in the midst of missionary trips, in the midst of very harsh weather conditions on the mission field. Now, before I went on such missionary trips, I was having a good relationship with God, and God was speaking to me. But the God that I saw on the mission field was different from the one that I have known when I was, you know, whenever I'm at home or fellowshipping with God in my room. The God that I met on the mission field was not like the one that I get to fellowship with when I'm alone in the house. Now, I'm not saying I'm having fellowship with two different gods, but I'm saying that I saw more of His power and glory when I gave myself to go through sufferings for His name's sake, sufferings for His gospel's sake. Yeah, when I gave myself to endure all manner of, things some of you would call stress or stressful things or painful things. Yeah, that was when I began to meet God in a very glorious and powerful way, which did not happen when I was just sitting down at home in my comfort zone. I don't know if you're getting my point. So this apostolic standard remains the same forever. So don't let anyone deceive you. Yeah, there is a limit to the intimacy with God and the knowledge of God you will have if you have not fellowshipped with Him in His sufferings and in His death. There's going to be a limit. Yeah. So let us embrace His sufferings. Yeah. A lot of people have suffered for Jesus, and we, the present generation of Christians, we are reaping the results of the work those people had done. Yeah, a lot of people have suffered for the gospel, suffered for Jesus. Yeah. Nowadays, we have sound speakers. We have amplifiers. In those days, men would preach with their voice. You know, they would shout till their voice would break down. Yeah, because there were no microphones. Yeah, these men would shout at the top of their voices. Yeah, so men suffered, even women suffered for Jesus, and we are enjoying the result of their work. So if we are not going to suffer for the same Jesus, I don't know what we are going to leave behind for the coming generations. Yeah, so let us look at that place again in Romans chapter 8, verse 17-18. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So if you don't suffer with him, you will not be glorified with him. You can see that. Yeah. It says that we are his children. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. But we must prove it through suffering. Yeah. Verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yeah. So that there's no suffering that anyone is going through now that can be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. So even while you endure persecution, there is this hope of glory that you have. Hope that, you know, there's this hope that you will be glorified together with Jesus. And that you will forget all the sufferings. Yeah. And that going through the sufferings really worth it. Yeah. Enduring the suffering really worth it. Yeah. That, you know, this was why, or that was why many of the early apostles, they were willing to die by the sword. They were willing to be beaten, slaughtered, you know, humiliated. They were willing to go through terrible things. Yeah. In fact, they are always happy when you know, when they had to suffer persecution. They are always excited to go through persecution because they know the glory that will be revealed in them. Yeah, they know the glory that they will teach and partake of. I pray that the Lord will help you to walk worthy of your Christian faith by fellowshipping with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to look at another scripture. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, furthermore, when I came, to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Verse 13 says, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Yeah, this is a man like you and I, speaking of how much he was willing to preach the gospel of Christ. anywhere he finds himself. Yeah. So we should suffer for his sake. We should suffer for the sake of the gospel. I pray that you will be willing to suffer for the sake of Christ and his gospel in Jesus' name. Let us look at the same 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, before we go to that place, let us read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Some Christians will say, I can never deny Jesus. I know all that he has done for me. Why will I deny him? But they deny him in their actions. They deny him in their lifestyle. Yeah, so it's not until you open your mouth to deny Jesus that you have denied him. You can deny him in your lifestyle, in your attitude, in your actions. Yeah. You can deny him in your character. Yeah, if you are doing opposite of the things he has commanded you to do, that is denial and that is rebellion. Yeah. Knowing deeply in your heart that this is not who Jesus wants me to be. This is not what Jesus wants me to say. This is not what Jesus wants me to do. And yet you went ahead and do those things, it shows you have denied him. I pray you will not deny your Creator in Jesus' name. So now let's move to that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4. 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yeah, you can see that. It says, whatever affliction a Christian can go through or is going through is so small compared to the weight of glory. that we will soon inherit. Yeah. Before you say that you are ready for heaven, you need to first of all ask yourself how much persecution am I ready for? How much persecution am I ready to go through? Or how much persecution can I really endure? Yeah, because that heaven is not just for anyhow person. Yeah, heaven is, you know, that's the weight of glory that awaits us in heaven. It's not just for anybody. It's for those that would qualify for it. Those that have walked towards it. Yeah, it's not just going to come cheaply. It's going to come with a great price. Yeah, and that is why I mourn for many Christians in this generation, because they don't really know what it is to make heaven. They don't know how hard it is, because it is actually very hard. Now, when I say hard, I do not mean it's impossible. But what I mean is that it's going to cost you a lot. Yeah, making heaven comes with a great price. Yeah, and many people are not willing to pay such price. That is why I doubt if many in this generation, I don't know about the generation that will follow us. Yeah, I don't know about the generation of Christians that will come after this present generation of Christians. But what I know about this present generation of Christians is that many of us will not be able to make heaven, because we are not working towards it. We are not deserving it. So it's something you have to deserve. It's something you have to qualify for. Yeah, it's something you have to work worthy of. So it doesn't come so cheap. Yeah, if it comes so cheap, do you think God would bother to send Jesus to come and die for us? If making heaven is that cheap, God would probably maybe send some other kind of angels, or send, you know, the way I've been sending prophets. Yeah. So, God knew that it is not cheap. That was why God also have to, he gave the most treasurable gift to us. Because he knows what it will take to make heaven, that it can't just happen easily like that, or cheaply like that. So God was the first to pay the price, you know, by giving his only begotten son. Yeah, he was the first to do that as sacrifice. And of course, not God alone, even Jesus, who gave his life, also did his own part. So we must also do our own part, or else we can't enter into that glory. It's not going to work. If you think the way you are living your Christian life, I mean, carelessly, and, you know, the way you have so much exalted your own desires above God's desires, your own will above God's will. If you think you know, just living like that, you think, and then maybe when you want to die, you know, some people believe that they can easily repent and ask for forgiveness when it's few minutes to their death hour or death minute. Yeah, so they feel like they'll just, you know, say a prayer like, "Oh God, all the sins I have been committing, please just forgive me right now. I know you're a merciful God, I repent. Now that I'm about to die, let me just let me just escape hell and enter heaven." My brother and sister, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. The heaven you have not, you know, you have not walked towards before, you know, before you reach the time of your death. You can't just enter like that. It doesn't come cheaply like that. Many people have tried that. They ended up in hell. Yeah, you can't just enter heaven by praying some short prayer when you're about to die. It doesn't work like that. Because some people believe it does work like that. And I'm going to tell you why it cannot work like that. Now, I want you to know that there is what we call restitution. Yeah. And it's a very crucial aspect of repentance. Restitution has to do with making certain amendments, you know, concerning some wrong things you have done. Especially wrong things that involve other people. People you have lied against. People you have stolen from. People you had certain issues with. And you have not resolved those issues. Yeah, people that you offended and you have not made peace with them. Yeah, you have not humbled yourself and seek for their forgiveness. Yeah, so making heaven is not just about, "Oh, I repent now. God, forgive my sins." No. Every offenses you cause, every wrong things you did, you must correct them before you die. Things you stole that doesn't belong to you, you must return to the rightful owner. If you are in a relationship with maybe a woman or a man that has been married before, and the person married is still alive, you knew that the person, this man or woman married is still alive, and yet you still went ahead to, you know, start having a sexual affair with the person, and even start, or maybe even going to court marriage with that person, knowing that this person have been married to someone before, and that person is, you know, is still alive. Repentance demands that you return the husband back to the rightful owner, or you return the wife back to the rightful owner, and that is restitution. Yeah, or maybe you blackmailed someone. What the person did not do, you told lies that the person did, and you know, and that person have to suffer a lot of terrible things because of the lie you told. Repentance demands that you go and tell the truth to the person that you blackmailed him or her. Now, so making heaven is not just that, oh, I repent, God forgive me. So there are things you must correct in your lifetime. So if after you have caused a lot of troubles, offended a lot of people, and avoided a lot of restitutions, and then you are now on the bed, close to when you want to die, and then you are now saying, oh God, I want to die now. Doctor said, I have few minutes left, or few hours left, or few days left. Oh God, I want to die now. Forgive me. I repent and take me into your kingdom. It's not going to work. You will go to hell. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, because some people, for instance, some false pastors, some false prophets, the reason why they would go to hell wasn't because they did not repent eventually. Because some of them, they realized the truth and later are ready to repent. But the reason why many of them will go to hell was, you know, is because they cannot come back to the pulpit and tell their church members that all this while they have been lying to them. If they cannot come into the public and make that restitution and tell the people that they have been lying to them, that the prophetic messages they were given to them, that you know, God said this, God told me this, God told me that, you know, they are not ready to come out in the public and say all those prophetic messages is all lies. They were all to steal from you guys, and you know, they were all to manipulate you guys and to deceive you guys. So they are not willing to do that restitution. And that is why many of them will not make heaven. Yeah, not because they stop, because some of them later they stop doing those things. But because they did not do the restitution, they will go to hell. Yeah, because they still need to come boldly, since they lied against God boldly and publicly. They need to come to the public and correct it and tell the people that everything they have been doing was all lies and deception. Now, and because many of them will not want to do that because of their pride and because of the shame attached to it, that is why many of them will go to hell. So don't think making heaven is that easy. It's not. Especially when you are not willing to do the right thing. Yeah. I'm not supposed to talk, you know, in that line, but I feel like you need to understand the kingdom of heaven that we are pursuing. Yeah, you really need to understand that you can't have hatred for someone and think you will make heaven. That you can't have bitterness for someone and think you will make heaven. Yeah, and that you can't, you know, you can't keep malice or what else. You can't hold someone in your heart and vow that you will not forgive that person and still make heaven. Yeah. So there are issues that you must solve here on earth before you die. If you don't, those last minute prayer cannot take you to heaven. I pray that the Lord give you more understanding concerning these things. Let us look at some other scriptures before we before we round off the teaching, let us look at Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 25 to 26. Don't forget that we are looking at a topic that says heavenly rewards for enduring persecution. Heavenly rewards for enduring persecution. We are looking at Hebrews 11, 25 to 26. Hebrews 11, 25 to 26. Now, these verses we're talking about, we're referring to Moses. I read, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So we saw how Moses, being brought up as a prince, you know the story of Moses, how he was picked up on the river by one of Pharaoh's daughters. Yeah, you know the story, because the Pharaoh at that time was killing all the children of the Hebrews, all the children of the Israelites. Yeah, and the parents of Moses had to put him in a basket and let the river, and lead him on the river. So the river began to take away the basket where the child was, until the daughter of Pharaoh saw the baby Moses. Yeah, and she adopted him. Yeah, so by that adoption, Moses had right to all the beautiful things in Egypt. He had right to a lot of pleasures. Yeah, he had right to enjoy everything that all the princes in the palace enjoys. Yeah, but he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. So he, as he grew up, he understood that he was not an Egyptian. He understood that he was an Hebrew. And he also realized that the Hebrew were not living the high class life. As, in fact, the Hebrews were suffering in Egypt. So he understood that they were not living, that luxurious life he was living in the palace. So he chose to identify with the people of God that are suffering than with the Egyptians that are enjoying beautiful things. I don't know if you're getting something. Yeah, which is very rare for many people to do. I mean, such choice is very rare for people to make. Yeah, to choose to suffer when you actually have 100% right to great pleasures. Yeah. And yet you prefer to suffer. Not many people would do that. For instance, now there are some people who left this country, Nigeria. Nigeria to some Western countries like Europe, USA, because they were looking for greener pastures. They were looking for more money, looking for more, more physical riches. Yeah, so they left African countries for such country. And they knew that God have an assignment for them here in Nigeria or in whatever African country. But because even while they traveled, God still came to them in the country they went. God visited them and told them, you have no business here. My plan, or how should I say, you coming here is not part of my plan for you. You are not yet done with the assignment I gave you back home. Yeah, many of them, they ignored God's voices. I mean, God's voice. And they stayed there. So, what Moses did in this passage is not what many people will do, even Christians would do. I pray that you will choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. In Jesus' name. But mind you, many of the missionaries that brought Christianity to several African countries, they had to make this same choice Moses made. Yeah, because many of them, many of those missionaries died in Africa. Yeah, because they were exposed to different diseases and sicknesses they could not, that they had no immunity to fight against. So some of them were killed by malaria and by some other things, some other diseases. Some of them were even slaughtered by the hostile Africans they met, the idol worshippers they met. They were slaughtered by those idol worshippers because they felt like you're bringing in another religion that is not what we know. Yeah, so God is looking for Christians that are willing to suffer affliction because of righteousness, because of obedience to His word, and because of His gospel. I pray you will be such Christians in Jesus' name. Let us read the same Hebrews 11, verse 35. Hebrews 11, verse 35. It says, women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You see that? These people were Old Testament people. Yeah, he said they were tortured. And they were given a chance to escape from the torture. But they refused to escape. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. So they know that if they die, know that there is a kingdom they will inherit, and there is a glorious body they will inherit. They know that they will get something far more better in return. It's just like when you are doing a transaction and then you saw something that you want to buy, and you know that that thing is far, far more expensive than the price they ask you to pay for it. Yeah. A reasonable person would quickly go and get the price. That is how the kingdom of God is. Yeah, the price that we are told to pay does not even want what we will get in return. So whatever suffering, may God have mercy on our generation. Whatever suffering you can give to Christ or suffer for Christ today does not even worth what you will gain eventually. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. The price you are expected to pay is so little compared to what you will gain eventually. And that was why Jesus compared the kingdom of God to someone who found a precious item in a field, and the person went to sell all that he had to buy that field. Why? Because the person knew that this precious thing I have here, or I found here, is far more expensive than all that I have. Yeah, so that is how the kingdom of heaven is. So it is far too expensive that we can't even pay for it. Then why can't we pay even the little that God expects that we pay just by surrendering our lives? Why is it so hard for us to do that? Why is it so hard for you to do that? Why is it hard for you to believe God, trust God, obey God, forgive others, please God, repent? Why are those things so hard for you? Why is it so hard for you to deny your flesh and walk in the Spirit? Why is it so hard for you to forsake the things of this world? Yeah, because they are just too simple. They are hard because you don't really want to do them. That is why they are hard. Yeah. If what we are getting from God in return is far, far greater than whatever we give or would give, then why can't we just give everything? Why can't we give our lives to gain a better life? Yeah, some centuries ago, you are going to see Christians that knows that they might die in the next few days because of their profession as a Christian. Yeah, because there was a time in England so many years ago, I mean hundreds of years ago, there was a time in England that if you profess to be a Christian, that is you publicly confess that you are a Christian, you are going to be killed. Yeah, if you go against the Catholic faith. And we know that the Catholic faith is not the same with the Christian faith. Yeah. So, those people that went against the Catholic faith, at that time in England, in Europe, they were killed, some were burnt alive. Yeah. So, and even while all that was going on, many were excited to become Christians. So knowing fully well that they might die anytime, they will still join the Christian fold. Why? Because they know that a better life awaits them. If you are trying to gain a lot of things in this world, that alone is a sign that you are not ready for the kingdom of God. Yeah, because Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses its soul? So you can't gain this world and gain the kingdom of God at the same time. It's not possible. You have to live one for one. Many Christians don't want to die because they still want to gain more of this world. Yeah, so you need to think very deep about the Christianity you have been practicing and really ask yourself if you're on your way to heaven or not. Yeah, because those that have gone before us, we know the lives they lived. We know the kind of life they lived. And we know we can't enter into the heaven they have entered if we live a substandard life, a substandard Christian life. Yeah, that is very low. The life they lived. So the people of those days, they don't care about the things of the world. They don't care about the things of the world. I pray that the Lord will help you. We're going to stop here. Okay, there's another scripture before we stop. And let us look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So you can see why the early Christians are always excited whenever they are being persecuted, and whenever they have to suffer for Christ, or for Christ's sake, or for the gospel's sake, they are always excited because they know that they always count it as a privilege to be persecuted for Christ's sake, or for the gospel's sake, because they know that if they share in his suffering, they know that they will also share in his glory. So they always rejoice when men persecute them. But let me ask you, will you really rejoice if men persecute you for the sake of Christ, will you really rejoice? Yeah. If, you know, somebody got you arrested, got you beaten, and got you injured because you gave yourself to doing the work of God and to preaching the gospel, will you rejoice that you went through that for Jesus? Will you really be happy to have gone through that for Jesus? Let's say, for instance, you went to preach somewhere, and the next thing that happened was someone came close to you and gave you some very hot slap on your face. Will you be happy to take a very hot slap for Jesus? I know many of us today are not ready for such things, and that is why we are doing this teaching. We are going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us so much from your word concerning the rewards that awaits us if we joyfully and with excitement endure persecutions. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone who have had this teaching to do the needful in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to stop deceiving themselves, thinking that following Jesus is bread and butter and doesn't come with trials and tribulations and persecutions. Oh Lord, help everyone here to be willing to follow Jesus as they should. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that the power of God take away every form of fear in your heart. Even those fears that is stopping you from doing the things that Jesus demands from your life, because you are afraid of what some people will say, or what some people will do to you, or say about you, and then you refused to do the things Jesus demands from you as a Christian. I pray that the Lord take away such fears from you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.